The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. I don't know if we're on camera or not. We don't know.
Oh, we are. Yep, we're good.
We're on camera. What's happening, man?
Not much. How you doing?
Madness. 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 We'll get to that momentarily. What a weekend. What a game. More specifically. More specifically, what a game between UConn and Duke yesterday. One that will go down in the annals of March Madness history. It's up there with Leitner. It's up there with Grant Hilda Leitner.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the Kentucky Duke days of the early 90s, 1992. But this was just epic. We will talk about it, of course. Adam Burke will join us. Wes Reynolds will join us. Greg Peterson, sooner than all that, will join us later this hour to discuss. We got much to discuss in terms of baseball as well. Our last undefeated looking pretty good here in the early going with the Toronto Blue Jays, one of five remaining undefeateds. We'll get into that. Reds off to a good start for March, April. We will discuss that as well. And the unbelievable movement. I'm so glad we track this every day, because there was a point last week where we're like, well, why are we tracking this every day? The NBA MVP market.
Yep.
Where I would sort of painstakingly every day not only change the odds, but give you, here are the team games remaining. Here's the games that the player could afford to miss. Well, we got to look at that MVP market because it has drastically changed over the weekend. Which was kind of my point the whole time, which is like, I don't know who's going to win it. Maybe SGA ends up winning it, but this can't be reflective. Like the gap between him and the field cannot be reflective, I didn't think, of what reality is. Who knows if it is now? We'll see. We'll get into that as well.
I was going to say, I still don't know if it's reflective.
We don't know until the final vote, right? We don't know any of that stuff.
There's a third guy on there you and I were texting about that. Oh boy, does he seem pretty far away.
Yeah, we'll... Yes. And maybe a bet needs to be made on him just out of principle as well. As far as the weekend, though, first with college hoops. Oh, by the way, yes, I am still alive in Survivor. Got to talk about that. I'm in 30th out of what was 1,800 entries, really 3,000 when you consider buybacks. I'm in 30th place, which was always my thing. It's like since my mulligan, I can play this perfectly.
Yeah.
I might be able to get through it. I might not. I think I've played it perfectly to get to 30th, clearly. Now, what do I do? We'll talk about strategy. Actually, I don't want to talk about strategy because one of the 29 in front of me might be listening, so I don't want to talk about it anymore. But we'll discuss different roads
you could go down.
Yes, we will. We'll dance around it. Formula update coming up, too.
What do you think? You think you're live?
I think that I can play it a certain way and move up the standings and not win. And then I think there's a different way I can play it where, like I've been playing it, I can risk just crapping out every time, but I actually might have a puncher's chance.
Gotcha.
So we'll talk about that. As far as the weekend, let's take one at a time. We'll get through the first three real quick. Obviously, Iowa and Illinois. Iowa led Illinois 51-50, lest we forget, with 7 minutes and 27 seconds left in that first game this weekend. And then Illinois scored the next day to go up 58-51. Iowa never got closer than 4, which they did with 2 minutes left. Illinois went on an 8-0 run to close it, 71-59. The Illini, the first team to cut down the nets to head to the Final Four. Illinois was 3 of 17 from 3 in that game. They were terrible from behind the arc, but they out-rebounded Iowa 32-18, including 12 offensive boards. That's what they would need. Bennett Sturts 24 in defeat for Iowa. Keaton Wagler with 25. Andre Stiljakovic was 17 for the Illini. So the Illinois squad gets there first. And then Arizona, you know, we talked about, again, Iowa was up by a point over Illinois with 7:27 left. Lest we forget, Arizona trailed Purdue by 7 at the half. And then at 42-35 in the second half, then Arizona goes on the 16-3 run to go up 6. At 59-53, a little later, they score the next 7 to go up 13. They led by as many as 18. They win it going away 79-64. Koa Pete led the way for Arizona with 20. Arizona on their way to the Final Four under Tommy Lloyd, who, rumor has it, may be headed to North Carolina. Maybe it's not Billy Donovan.
Them trailing at halftime of that game feels like forever ago.
Those two games feel like forever
they
ago.
Really, actually, that's a good point. Both of them feel forever ago.
And then yesterday, so the third game yesterday, have the Will Hill tweet standing by off, you could. Do we have that? Do
yeah.
we have the Will Hill?
Yeah. Okay.
The third game, Michigan, by the way, this is Nate Burleson at halftime of the Michigan game. Michigan putting on a clinic on how to run the ball. I'm like, what sport are we watching again, Nate? It was 16-14 Tennessee with 9 minutes into the game. 16-14 Tennessee. Then Michigan went on a 21-0 run to go up 35-16. Tennessee never got within 15 again. Wolverines led by 22 at the half, led by as many as 34, win by 33, 95-62. And the team that was blowing out everybody, I mean by 30, 40 points earlier in the year, the Wolverines as a one seed head to the Final Four. So at this point, you know, with Duke UConn on the cusp, I'm thinking, okay, formula is just going to be three of the teams are going to get in. The only way the formula is if the Illini win it all. If Duke wins, my over 14.5 total wins for number one seeds is going to happen. And by the way, Duke leads by 19, 44-25, and by 15 at the half. I don't know when exactly Will Hill, our buddy, put out this tweet, but it was somewhere in that blowout of UConn by Duke, where he says, at what point do we stop calling this tournament March Madness? Now, poor Will, because somebody tagged Freezing Cold Takes after this, and they got a hold of it. And they
Someone did.
It.
I think it was Buddhist, man.
Was it Buddhist?
I think so. I think that's what I saw this morning.
Maybe it wasn't.
Or maybe
just
he was
someone.
Just one of multiple people. Maybe he was not the first.
I don't know if he was the first, but either way, Will was kind of right. Not kind of right. He was completely right at this point, right? This is the whole,
sure, of course.
The madness had completely gone out of the tournament. And then, funny thing happened.
And also, like, I mean, I know you're going to get to all the details here, but, like, it's a 2-1. Like, Will's still kind of right.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm going to always stick up for you, Will, because guess what? Welcome to the Freezing Cold Takes Club. Okay. I got your back, Jack.
Would you like to repeat yours? Living in me?
Chris Singleton? Yeah. I'm sorry. I've seen enough at college basketball this year that Chris Singleton will definitely be a better pro than Kawhi Leonard.
That's Kelly's. That will live in infamy. Duke led by 19. They lead by 15 at the half. You know how this goes. They led by as many as 17 in the second half. They lead by 9 with 5 minutes left. But 8 in a row from UConn cuts it to 67-65. They led by 9, but yeah. 8 in a row. I guess they were down 10 at this point. They cut it to 67-65 with 3:42 left. And then as we continue on, a Caravan 3 with 51 seconds left cuts it to 70-69. Boozer, short turnaround, puts Duke up 72-69, 29 seconds left. Duke's got this in hand, right? Then the mayhem. Then the madness. UConn takes over on their next possession. By the way, 29 seconds left. They can't get off they can't do anything till 10 seconds left when they draw the foul on Boozer. That's the first thing, right? That's a botched possession.
Mm-hmm.
10 seconds left. Demery makes 1 of 2 to cut it to 72-70. So Duke up 2 with 10 seconds left. That's the first thing that UConn didn't do particularly well. Then they can't figure out how to foul Duke on this possession. The second thing that is sort of a botch. But as we all know, Caden Boozer's pass with two Duke teammates just beyond the defense gets deflected by Demery. Gathered by Braylon Mullins behind the timeline. He throws it to Caravan, who, by the way, can I just say this? I think Alex Caravan is the unsung player in all of this. Caravan is the veteran. You know when he gets that ball, he's thinking, this is my shot.
Mm-hmm.
This is my shot. The defender was just a little too close,
yeah,
and he had the presence of mind to throw it back to Mullins from 31, from the logo, and as the great Bill Raftery called it, once he came to... Once he became alert again, nylon, complete splash, 0.3 seconds left. They added a tenth of a second. It wouldn't matter. UConn in one of the epic, iconic games in March Madness history, 73-72 over Duke. And UConn is headed to the Final Four to take on the Illini, whereas Michigan, of course, is playing Arizona. I have no idea how my UConn futures 16-1 is still alive. A ticket that I have not thought about at all.
You and Danny. Oh boy, that was. I don't even know at what point in this game, Gil, I thought UConn had a chance. Like, I'm not sure it was until the finals buzzer.
UConn.
But sure, the second half, it was that slow. It was the slow comeback throughout. But
to your point, they led by. You know how much they led by in this game? How much time? 51 seconds of the 40-minute game. That's how much they led in this game. 51 seconds. Duke had never lost an NCAA tournament game in which it had led by at least 15 points at the half. And number one seeds were 134-0 when leading by at least 15 at the half of any game in Big Dance history. The 19-point comeback, the largest versus a one seed since seeding began back in 1979, and a tie for the third largest comeback in Elite Eight history or later Final Four championship. UConn looking to become the first team since UCLA in the 1970s to win their third championship in 4 years.
It's wild, man.
And then when you get to the spreads of the Final Four games, by the way, Michigan-Arizona has already switched through the middle, right? Arizona started out as a tick of a favorite. Now Michigan is a tick of a favorite. What, 1.5-point favorite, I believe it is. And then in the other game, it's only a 2.5-point spread.
Michigan 1 to 1.5 and Illinois 2 to 2.5 totals. Illinois, Connecticut 139.5 to 140 and Michigan, Arizona 157.5.
And Kelly, I think at this point, you have to say any one of these teams can absolutely win it. I don't know how much conviction you have on any one of these four winning at all, but I would sort of temper that. If you are really resolute in what you think, I'd be like, haven't you seen enough? Oh. Any of these teams can win at this point.
Michigan and Arizona are so good, though.
They are. Nothing would surprise me at this point moving forward. Coming back on A Numbers Game. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We're down to the vital stretch of college hoops. I hadn't noticed. And it's a great time to stay on top of every bet. With VSiN Pro, you'll get daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools and matchup analysis, plus 24/7 video and show replays on the VSiN Watch app. The final four matchups covered on VSiN.com with expert previews, best bets, and betting trends so you can stay ahead of the market. And beyond college hoops, you'll get our MLB betting guide, coverage of the NBA and NHL playoff races, and our upcoming PGA Masters betting guide. Masters, right around the corner. Not sure if you're aware of that, Kelly. I'm not sure if you're aware of golf.
I'm aware it's around the corner. Didn't know I had writing to do.
He's got an assignment. Start today for just $9.99 or save 50% with an annual subscription. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. We get tweets, speed of the book. This is from Jason, Ice Cold Gambler. Something to keep an eye on. He's talking baseball here. He said, do these guys get write-ups and possibly fired after a certain number or maybe not allowed to be behind the plate? What he's talking about is the Athletics' Johnny Flores Jr. provided a list of umpires with the highest overturn percentage already on the ABS system.
Oh, boy.
Among those who faced two challenges or more since opening day last week, Chad Whitson leading the way, Kelly, if you were wondering, with 7 challenges, all that were all overturned. He's 100% rate of overturn. Oy vey.
So how does this play out? Like, seriously, how does this season play out?
I think it's awesome.
No, but like this stuff's going to continue. Yeah. And what really does happen then when some of these umpires get absolutely exposed?
It's a great question. It's a great question. Trip Tepper. The post game between Shire and Wolfson was laugh out loud funny. I don't know if I've been in a locker room like that before, said Shire. John, weren't you in the locker room after the Houston game last year? This trip was in. El Yessi. Boy, everyone killed Tommy Lloyd his first few years for tournament fails, but give Shire a big pass. An interesting point. Rich PSM, that was Norv Turner coaching Duke. Should have used that timeout to remind his players to hold the ball, but then that would be careful planning. Besides Houston last year, Duke also lost a 17-point lead to Texas Tech this year. Michael Montesano, not only was Caravan the unsung hero with the pass to Mullins, thank you for agreeing, Montesano, by the way, but down 4 under a minute left, he made the huge 3 from about 24 feet to cut it to 1. Yeah, I mentioned that. If he doesn't make that, they probably lose. Yeah, with 51 seconds left. And Jim Devitt, Sorry, Gil. I have a 26.5-1 on Illinois, on the Illini. Have to be Oppo you on for this one. Hey, you gotta back your thing. That's for sure. If you got a ticket, you gotta back it.
Hey, Gil, just texting with Will Hill, who's texting us right now too.
Mm-hmm.
The Caden. Funniest part about that though, I've made one player prop bet this entire NCAA tournament. It was over on Caden's points and assists yesterday. I thought the line was shockingly low. It got home.
That poor kid, man. You just think about it. He's just like, if I had just stayed dribbling the ball, if I had just waited for them to, anything else. You said it great. Into a volleyball team.
Let me just rock this through. This will get through. Two guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, Greg Hoops Peterson joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at GUnit_81. His nickname is Hoops for a reason. The man has done a college basketball podcast every day for the last 200 years, I believe it is. What's the exact streak, Greg? What is it exactly?
I believe we're up to 2,400 straight days.
God, it's wild. And now you're doing the baseball podcast. So it's Coast to Coast Hoops, wherever you get your podcasts. For the basketball one and the baseball betting show, which is the baseball one. So you're doing both at this point of year, you're doing both in a day, correct?
Yep. And I'll be doing double duty for the next 200 plus days because baseball does not slow down. And I love the baseball season. When it comes to baseball, it's a daily grind. I do like myself just the day to day action. So that is going to be a lot of fun.
Okay. Well, let's start with the college hoops because I do want to get to baseball with you because I'm interested in what you're playing today. But college hoops. So we are where we are. You had Purdue winning it all. Man, 7-point lead and then just nothing at that point.
Yeah.
What do you make of that? Just beaten by a better team, ultimately, in Arizona?
I think that things just caught up to them. And when it comes to the NCAA tournament, I have noticed this in this NCAA tournament. We have seen a lot of these favorites get down early. Heck, trailing the... at the end of the first half, we saw it in that Iowa versus Illinois game. You thought, wow, Iowa might pull this off. They're up 4 points as a 7 or so point or a 5 or so point underdog. And then they just completely fade into the abyss. We even saw that in the first round, like go all the way back to Alabama versus Hofstra. Like Hofstra with 10 minutes remaining, you were thinking, oh, the 13th seed might actually pull off the upset. No, not to be had. So I think that that's the biggest takeaway for me. If you've done nothing but live bet these favorites that get down early in games, you have made yourself a ton of money because it just feels like these final 10, final 15 minutes, the better teams have just been able to put on a blitz and been able to find a way to just absolutely take it to these teams late in the game.
So we talked a little bit about this off air. You're not having a good tournament in terms of a pre-flop ATS here. Is this something that you view as by the time the tournament rolls around, it's just not as beatable as other times of the year? Or is this just sort of a one-off thing for you?
I think it's A and B. When you have Santa Clara and the under, you just toss up your hands and you're like, what am I going to do here? Because Ortega 08 launches up a 40-point shot. You lose the under because it goes overtime and then Santa Clara goes into the abyss. When you've got Vanderbilt going into the Final Four, ball goes halfway down and out. You sort of toss up your hands and you're like, yep, this one just was not meant to be. So I mean, there's a lot of that goes on. And at the same time, too, you're not going to find bigger edges in the NCAA tournament than you are, say, in like the middle of, shall we say, January, February. Like I say this with all sports. This is not just college basketball. This is baseball. This is football. This is insert your favorite sport here. Your smallest edges are going to be coming during the playoffs. The more that they allow you to bet, the bigger your limits, the more that they're encouraging you to be able to max out those limits, the more that they want you to bet because the edges that you're going to find are smaller than smaller. Instead of making your bet size bigger during bigger games, I would always encourage you to actually scale it back as the bigger games go. Like your best edge is probably going to come in like the Southland on some random Tuesday in January rather than right now in the NCAA tournament.
As for the Sweet 16, as for the Final Four, on Saturday, of course, then the championship game on Monday, as per tradition, the Illini are 1.5-point favorites against UConn in the first of the two semis on Saturday. The total's at 139.5. And then Michigan right now, after Arizona was installed, remember, you can't bet them unless they're installed, Greg, those are the rules. After Arizona was installed as the favorite, now Michigan is the 1.5-point favorite against Arizona, total at 157.5. Let's talk side and total for each of these, starting with Illinois and UConn.
With UConn, I did make them the small favorite. I just think that you have to take a look at the coaching matchup here, and I just think that Danny Hurley is the best coach remaining in the NCAA tournament. Like, guys won two out of the last three titles. Guy just found a way to get the job done yesterday against Duke, and two things can be true. Duke absolutely yacked all over themselves. That was absolutely terrible. We should be calling to task what we have been seeing out of Duke over the last few seasons. Coach Shire, he's going to need to wear this until Duke is able to break through, but I'd come back from down 19 points. Team was 1 of 18 from three. Cold as an igloo. Be able to find a way to get the job done is big. And for Illinois, this sort of environment is not great for them. They entered into the Elite Eight, 15th in the country in terms of percentage of their field goal attempts that come from three. Now they're playing in a football stadium, have a UConn team that is much more, shall we say, inclined to go down low. And for Illinois, they just don't generate ball pressure. Now, we found out with Illinois, they also don't put you to the free throw line. They are number one in the country in terms of fewest free throw attempts allowed on a per possession basis, but they're also number one in terms of fewest turnovers generated on a per possession basis. That's been a little bit of an issue here for UConn this year. So with UConn, I felt like they should have been the favorite here, made them the 1.5-point favorite. So right now, seeing like plus 110, plus 115, I'm going to bypass the 1.5, 2 points. I'm going to take UConn on the money line.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up. That's the one thing I didn't bring up when I was recapping it. 1 of 18 for three, from three at one point for UConn. Thanks for reminding me of that, which is because we were talking after the game, because Will has a UConn future. I have one. I know so many people that, have one. Yep. What's that?
Danny Higgins does.
Danny Higgins does. Dave Ross does. Right. A whole bunch of folks have UConn futures. And, you know, and Todd, after the game, you were in a group chat, and Todd was kind of being dismissive of UConn's chances to win it all. That, they're not nearly as good as Michigan, Arizona. They probably won't even, you know, and I brought up that stat of 1 of 18. Who's to say any of these teams can't win at this point? It's just two basketball games. I think UConn, and you make the point about Hurley, best coach by a mile left, by margin. What would you say?
By a little bit. Like, you take a look at the two coaches on the flip side in Michigan and Arizona. You have to give credit to both of those gentlemen, what they've been able to build. You have to wonder if the UNC rumors are going to get to Tommy Lloyd a little bit, but both of those guys, they do a nice job. But I have to give the edge to Coach Hurley because he's won two of the last three titles. If that doesn't get you the edge, I don't know what does in terms of the coaching battle.
Yeah, of course. Now, if Arizona loses, everybody's going to say, oh, UNC was a distraction, right? So, and I've been a guy who's been knocking Tommy Lloyd for years, but I hope they don't immediately go to that if Arizona doesn't end up winning. Greg on Arizona, Michigan on the other side will get his baseball thoughts as well. And then I will go through my survivor at the top of the next segment. I will go through what I have left briefly, because I know y'all aren't in this, but I'm curious at this point. I'm not curious. I have spent zero time on any of these picks because it's been so obvious what to pick.
Yeah.
This one's a little different now. Coming back on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game is brought to you by PropitX. If you're not on PropitX yet, now's the time. Sign up by April 6th. Purchase at least $25, you get a free $25. Once again, purchase at least $25, get a free $25. Then jump into their King of March contest. You can win free trips worth up to $5,000 or even $10,000. Just use the code VSINMM, as in March Madness. Make your first purchase, then learn about the contest on their homepage and start playing. No entry fee required. Hit $1,000 in volume. You're entered for the $5,000 trip. Hit $10,000. You're in for the $10,000 trip. Win 10 picks, hit the volume, and every additional 10 wins gets you another entry. Download PropitX. Use code VSINMM. Make your first purchase and take your shot at becoming the King of March. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Y'all are the best. Chris Hartman. Gil, Duke getting Leitnered was a tremendous end to the weekend. Being in a sports bar or sports book when a shot like that goes down is just the best. Epic. We'll remember that finish as long as we remember the Leitner one. There's a great shot, by the way, of that one where Hill throws. This is so, again, against Kentucky, right? The iconic Grant Hill, three quarters of the court pass where Leitner catches it, fakes one way. It's like an Elvin Hayes turnaround jumper, hits the shot. This was in the Cap Center in Landover, I believe it was. And there's a shot, I don't know if people saw it, of David Aldridge. You know David Aldridge, the reporter?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's a shot of him at the game in the stands. Oh, no, he was at a different game. Yeah. No, I'm sorry. David Aldridge was at the Capitol Center in Landover, Maryland, I think watching a Bullets game. And they had a shot of him watching a TV of that Leitner shot going ballistic. And it was just a great representation of how the country becomes completely, no matter where you are, right?
Yeah.
Becomes completely wrapped up in an outcome like that. And I think the same holds true for yesterday's outcome.
Man, I'm watching a side-by-side video right now of just Shire's face in the last moments of this. He, as soon as that shot went up, he knew it was over. He started walking away.
He took a glance at the clock. He's like, oh, no. David Shalafour, yo, wonder how much Raft lost on Duke. He went white or whiter when the shot hit. Like I said, catatonic, in a stupor, unresponsive. Paulie, 68, great weekend of basketball. What about the Raptors going on a 30-0 run last night? Yeah. One of the craziest things I have ever seen. That's, by the way, you think about what is the all-time, you know, longest runs in an NBA game. That has to be up there. We have to check.
Oh, I don't know what it was, but it's that now. That's a record.
Oh, yeah, that is a record. First of all, it was 31-0.
Yeah.
They went on a 31-0 run. They lose to the Raptors by 52 to the Magic. The Raptors 31-0 run. They end up winning by 52. 31-0. You score 31 in a quarter.
You know what, though? In the NBA, a little surprised. I'm actually surprised that's a record.
You know what's so funny is that this is weird the way the brain works. When the Washington Bullets played the Seattle Supersonics in the NBA Finals, they played them back to back years. But the Bullets at one point went on a 17-0 run. I remember people making a huge deal about that. And in my brain, since I was a little boy, have always considered 17-0 to be like the standard long run that if you can top that, it's amazing. 31-0 last night.
That's totally.
It's incredible.
But I almost say that just because how much the games change, right? Like, you've got teams that are just launching up three after three at each other, right? Like, okay, if one team gets a ball to go, one team's bricking them. Could happen.
Len Glauzenski, Hoops Peterson, spot on about Hurley. I've always said you need to handicap the coaches. Dusty May, close second to Hurley. Michigan's the best team in the Final Four, he says. A. Brown, tossing the ball up in the air to kill the clock. Not as easy as it seems, forever seared in my former Wizards employee brain. March 30th, 2007, Michael Ruffin tries only to have the ball land in Mo Pete's hands for a game-time buzzer beater.
Yeah.
Raptors destroy Wiz in overtime. Washington Wizards basketball, catch the fever.
Montesano sent us that highlight.
By the way, it wasn't my suggestion to throw the ball up in the air. It was a tweet earlier. And there was way too much time to just throw the ball up in the air. Spence, Caraban, also the hero in the Sweet 16 against Sparty, hit a huge three with a minute left. Couple late free throws to avoid what would have been a major meltdown. UConn desperate for the final whistle. Greg Peterson, kind enough to join us for a second segment here, Greg. Michigan, Arizona, didn't give you a chance to take a crack at that.
With this one, I did set Arizona as a slim 1.5-point favorite. Like, this, I think, is a de facto national title game right here. Like, these have been the top two teams, in my opinion, all season long. With Arizona, I feel like they're more consistent. I feel like with Michigan, there's a little bit more upside. But that said, with Arizona, I just feel like they're the more complete team. I feel like they've got a few more ways to be able to attack you. And I think that this is the X factor for Arizona. I would say one of the most improved players in all of college basketball this year has been Braden Burries, who's been their top scorer, right around about 16 points per game. I've been incredibly impressed by him. And then you've got Toby Awaka, Monte Yuvas-Krivas, combining for about 16 or so rebounds per game. I think that they match up relatively well with the big men of Michigan, but I make no mistake about it. This is just an absolutely massive matchup. And I was leaning towards making this line 2.5 before what I saw yesterday for Michigan, just absolutely dump trucking a Tennessee team that's been really good on the glass all season long. That did speak to me a little bit. And I felt like Michigan maybe had a little bit of a lull in like late February, early March, didn't necessarily look the greatest in the Big Ten tournament. I think that they're finding it once again. But for Arizona, long two losses this year in overtime when JT Toppin was still out there for Texas Tech, and Kansas on Big Monday, where Kansas quite literally 41-0 on Big Monday under Bill Self. So I just think that Arizona, a very, very micro hair better here than Michigan. So I did make them the very slim 1.5-point favorite. Right now, seeing Arizona as the underdog, I'm going to lean with them on the money line.
Let's play a little hypothetical line game if we could here. Arizona against either the Illini or UConn, or Michigan against either the Illini or UConn. What do you think those numbers look like? Let's just say, and obviously it's going to matter how they get there, but let's just say it's kind of both teams get there by 6-7 point wins. Let's just make it sort of an even thing. So nothing too dramatic happens result-wise in the semis. What do you make those lines, do you think?
Yep, no matter what, you're going to be having Arizona or Michigan as a favorite in that spot. There's no question about it. Probably against UConn, 4.5, 5, somewhere in that neighborhood for either of these teams. I would probably make it closer to 5.5, 6 against Illinois, mainly because, again, with Illinois, you're playing in a football stadium. Illinois, they take nearly 50% of their field goal attempts from three. I think that does have to matter in this case. And the other three teams remaining, they like to go down low a little bit more. So that I do have Illinois as, for lack of a better term, the weakest link out of these four, but probably would be looking at like 4.5 points is what I'd be catching with UConn in either of those spots, more like 5.5 with Illinois.
All right, let us shift to baseball for a second, if we could. Any impressions from the first, you know, I want to say weekend, obviously it's weekend plus, let's call it, of Major League Baseball, ABS system or beyond? Is there a team that has caught your eye either to the good or to the bad?
We are seeing some bad bullpen pitching right now.
Oh, yes.
Like, holy crud, that entire Tampa Bay Rays versus Colorado versus St. Louis Cardinals series. Man, nobody could get it out of the bullpen. The Chicago White Sox upchucking defeat from the jaws of victory. I think that that is something huge right now. We like, this is supposed to be your most fresh when you find bullpens all season long. And there are some of these teams that they just have absolutely no bullpen pitching whatsoever. So I do think that that's going to lead to some good overs, some good run line spots, finding these teams with bad bullpens. I'm sorry, looking at you, the Los Angeles Angels. I think that that is going to be very fruitful, both betting it before the game and finding that in game. When you find these less than trustworthy relievers and these bad bullpens, betting against them in game, I think, is going to be very profitable.
It really is. It's already an epidemic and we're not even 5 games in. It's so bad. And by the way, if somebody could call the San Francisco Giants and let them know the season started, I'd appreciate that. Just let them know. Anything today that you bet?
Yep, we've got quite a few on the card, as we've got ourselves just a little bit of everything right now with regards to the early game. I did take a shot on the Royals on the money line. Chris with the K. Bubich was really good last year, posting up a 2.55 ERA. That fielding independent was right around about a 2.85. By the way, they moved the fences in at Kauffman Stadium. That total's right now 9.5, but I did take a shot on the under. Still don't have a ton of faith in this Royals lineup, but I do think that Bubich is able to get the job done. And then I think that this one is going to be really interesting as well. Cubs versus Angels. Wind is going to be blowing out. I just mentioned it. The Angels, bullpen not great. Ryan Johnson, who was a reliever last year that posted up over a 70 ERA, they're now trotting him out there as a starter. We have seen some of these guys go from the bullpen to being a starter and it not working out. Edward Cabrera makes his debut for the Cubs, who was actually quite good for the Miami Marlins last year. You're getting plus money on that run line. I like that. And with the wind blowing out, always want to look for that in Wrigley Field. I do like that over to go along with the Cubs run line.
Okay. That's it. Anything else? Or though that suffices?
We've got quite a few we'll leave that for the website. Also,
okay,
the under in the Yankees versus the Mariners, Luis Castillo, much better at home rather than away from home.
All right. We'll leave the rest for the website. Thank you, Greg. I appreciate it. Greg Peterson, everybody. GUnit_81. Call your shot. Who wins it all?
Arizona.
There it is. Okay. See, the one question that anybody asks each other, we never seem to get around to on you know, the basic ones. Well, that's the betting questions. Arizona wins it all from this point forward. Okay, Greg, thank you. Thank you so much. Greg Peterson, everybody. GUnit_81. Coast to Coast Hoops is the name of the college basketball podcast. The Baseball Betting Show, the name of his baseball podcast. And again, record streaks on both. Survivor, last undefeated in baseball. All of that, plus the NBA MVP race next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
A numbers game brought to you by ProfitX. If you're not on ProfitX yet, now's the time. Sign up by April 6th, purchase at least $25, get a free $25. Then jump into their King of Marge contest. You can win free trips worth up to $5,000 or even $10,000. Just use the code VSiNMM. MM as in March Madness. Make your first purchase, then learn about the contest on their homepage and start playing. No entry fee required. Hit $1,000 in volume, you're in for the $5,000 trip. Hit $10,000, you're in for the $10,000 trip. Win 10 picks, hit the volume, and every additional 10 wins gets you another entry. Download ProfitX. Use code VSANMM. Make your first purchase and take your shot at becoming the king of March. We have the VSAN Bracket Challenge we have not mentioned. 2 hours in, Kelly, to the show. These are all the VSAN shows as a collective. Me, Kelly, Danny, making the picks for a numbers game. We did, was 20 plays ATS or totals pre-flop in the first round. It was 10 over the 2 days of the second round. It was 5 over the 2 days of the Elite Eight, and it was 4. Wait, did I get that wrong? Hold on.
No, five
over the Sweet
right?
16. Five over the Sweet 16. 4 over the 2 days of the Elite Eight. So a total of 39 picks. Look at this right here. VSiN Primetime, Matt Eumanns, Tim Murray, they're 21-18. They have a one-game lead over us, a numbers game. We are 20-19. But in terms of points, because the point system, they increase with each round, we are in a three-way tie, not only VSiN Primetime and us, but also prop points. The shifty Nick Whalen and Jeff Erickson, mm-hmm. Did you call him shifty? They're in there as well with 25 points with a 1-point lead over Money Moves and a 2-point lead over Cashing Out. Look how tight that is.
We got that action, though.
Here's the thing. Yeah. Now, if it was based on action points, we destroy everybody. Look at that. 119 points to the positive. Action points is ours. Shouldn't everything be decided on action points?
I don't know if I still fully understand that, but okay.
Action points is the difference between...
How do prop points have a winning record? And negative prop points. Action points.
Oh, because when they lose, they lose.
They're just getting crushed when they lose.
Right. Whereas when we win huge. And when we lose, we barely lose. They're kind of the opposite, I guess. I don't know. Adam Burke might have some insight on this. Adam Burke, after all, is the managing editor of all things VSiN, VSiN.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Skating Tripods. He joins us now courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Adam, what say you, sir?
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen? Look, contests are one of the few things on the website that's not in my purview. That's no. Our marketing director, Dan Strauss, our database guy, Jason Lattice. So you'll have to reach out to them if you got questions.
Adam, shouldn't we win on action points alone? I just need you to answer that question. Shouldn't we win on action points alone?
I mean, I'm on your show, so I'm going to say yes.
There it is. That's all we needed to hear. That's all we need here. Anyway, it's very tight.
Good answer.
Primetime, one game lead over us in the records. But the points, what a log jam on top. All right, Adam, as far as March Madness is concerned, let's start there because I want to get some baseball thoughts from you as well. Any plays on either of the semifinals?
Nothing yet. I did write up both of these previews, though, yesterday over at VSiN.com. So they're both live for the final four games here. When you look at this UConn and Illinois game, I think it's a really, really interesting game because this is probably the higher variance of the two Final Four games in that Illinois loves to shoot from three and they do a really good job of keeping teams from getting to the rim, which is going to make UConn have to shoot threes in this game or at least mid-range jumpers. And they're only shooting 29% from three in this tournament. So, you know, obviously Breland Mullins had the big shot that sent them to the Final Four, but they were just 5 of 23 from three in that game against Duke. 29% for the tournament, and teams are only shooting 29% from three against Illinois here so far. So kind of looking at the body of work here up until this point, I'm kind of leaning a little bit towards the Illinois side, but haven't locked that one in yet. One thing I think is going to be interesting about Arizona and Michigan is between the two teams, the smallest margin of victory in the NCAA tournament so far is 12 points.
Jeez.
So if we've got a tight game here, and we probably will, right, based on the number, based on this matchup, which might be maybe one of the best Final Four games we've ever had from a metrics standpoint, who executes better in crunch time? You know, and that's something where I'd be kind of worried about Tommy Lloyd, who squandered some very, very talented teams before. And also Arizona doesn't like to shoot the three. They have one of the lowest three-point rates in the country. If they need a big three, are they going to get it? Is someone going to be willing to take it? I don't know. So that's a game where I'm kind of leaning towards the Michigan side. Again, haven't played either one of them yet. Going to keep diving in as time permits here because I'm doing a lot of baseball stuff too. But right now I'm leaning towards, you know, Illinois and Michigan in a Big Ten championship game.
Is it better than the national semifinal between Georgetown and St. John's in 1985, Adam? I ask you. I don't know.
I wasn't born yet, so I don't know.
We shall see. Walter Berry, great game. St. John's, Chris Mullins against Patrick Ewing in Georgetown. Of course, Georgetown then ends up losing to Villanova. Hey, real quick, because before we go on to baseball, Obviously, we talked about the unbelievable UConn ending yesterday and the amazing shot by Braylon Mullins, that whole sequence at the end. I don't want to let it die, because even as we sit here the next morning, I still kind of can't believe it happened. So just 30 seconds of sports talk radio for you. Where does this rank in just terms of finishes to a game of consequence like this?
I mean, it's definitely, I would say, you know, top three, certainly. I mean, I still always think about, you know, the Chris Jenkins shot for Villanova. That's one that always stands out to me. But this one, because it took such a perfect storm of things happening, right? Like, you get the trap, Duke's able to pass out of the trap, and then if that ball is, what, a foot higher from Boozer, then he throws it down the court and the game's over. So, you know, and also, I mean, you had some UConn guys coming out on the floor. You had Dan Hurley nose to nose with a referee. Like, if they wanted to, they could have teed up either the bench or Hurley, which I don't know how Hurley doesn't get more technicals.
Such a spaz. But
it was just, it was an incredible moment. And again, one of those that, you know, you hear the pop of the crowd. Every time you hear the pop of the crowd for some kind of huge moment, it just adds that much more to it. So definitely top three, I would say, especially, you know, relative to this tournament.
Yeah. It's definitely in the pantheon for sure. Put it up there with Leitner, put it up there with Chris Butler. It is definitely in the conversation. All right, so let's go to Major League Baseball, a weekend plus. ABS system's been fantastic, been fascinating. What's your, you have a big headline takeaway thus far, maybe on that, maybe on a team.
Yeah, I love the ABS thing, especially because, you know, there's a really strategic element to this, too, where, you know, I've been watching a lot of games, you know, with the MLB package. And, you know, you have these pitches that are borderline at best, but they're in positions where maybe you don't want to challenge them, you know, because you don't want to be wrong and lose it because you only have two of them. So there's a really big strategic element to this whole thing. I also think it's pretty interesting to watch who has the, you know, the green light to go ahead and challenge things. Obviously, the catchers pretty much have a green light across the board, and they've done well so far. Over 60% of their challenges have resulted in an overturned call. For batters and pitchers, it doesn't really seem like they have nearly as much runway, nor should they. Mm-hmm. So I think that's, you know, really, really interesting to see how the dynamics are playing out with this. You know, some teams being a little bit more aggressive with their challenges. I mean, the A's didn't really challenge anything in their series against the Blue Jays and struck out over 45% of the time
in that
series. Yeah. So it's crazy.
There was a very consequential at bat in that Saturday game between the A's and the Blue Jays where the Blue Jays got a strike call that was at least 2 inches off the plate, and the batter was just like, yeah, okay, not going to challenge that. I don't know if he had the ability to do so per the manager or not. What did you learn? What did you end up with in Major League Baseball today? Any bets?
Yeah, I got 5 bets that I made here for today across 15 games. We actually have everybody in action on a Monday, which is very, very rare. You typically don't get that because, you know, Mondays tend to be travel days. Mondays and Thursdays, you get a lot of, you know, starts a new series, or you get teams heading out to wherever they're going to play next. So having all 30 games is pretty interesting, although we don't have anything super early today, which, much to the chagrin of a lot of people out there going back to work on a Monday. I like the Rangers in this game against Baltimore. This is one that I definitely keyed in on. I like the Rangers to begin with coming into the season, you know, played their season win total over, Skip Schumacher to win manager of the year, trying to follow through with, you know, some of the things that I thought about coming into the season, some of the teams that I liked, some of the pitchers that I liked, and then remaining patient with those things, even if maybe they're not working out just yet, especially with some of the pitchers who, you know, had rough first starts. But Jack Leiter is a guy that was really, really good in the second half last year. And it was basically his rookie season. It's not a bad thing to be standing next to Jacob deGrom and Nate Eovaldi in the dugout, or have those guys watching your bullpens. Not surprised he got better as the season went along. And I think he's a guy who's going to be low key, really, really good for this Rangers team. We saw Mackenzie Gore come out and have a good start over the weekend as well. And Chris Bassett, I mean, he's a reliable dude, but he's another year older, just turned 37. Spring wasn't particularly good for him. Lefties had a 352 weighted on base average against him last season. Some guys with 350-ish weighted on base averages last year: Fernando Tatis Jr., Trey Turner, Josh Naylor, Francisco Lindor. So lefties really hit Chris Bassett well. The Rangers have a good lineup balance in terms of handedness. And I also kind of like where their bullpen's at a little bit more than Baltimore. So I like the Rangers at plus money today. One of my favorite MLB plays.
I like it. Adam's got a few more, several more picks that we'll talk about at the end of the show. We'll also put it on the website for subscribers at VSiN.com/picks. Adam, a pleasure. Guardians 2-2 doing their thing once again. It's early. Thank you, Adam. Appreciate it.
Have a good one.
Adam Burke, everybody, at Skating Tripods. NBA MVP next.